Still, it is sunny, so I am thankful for this weather because I know that I'm not going to be baptized in the church in worship service like what was baptized last week. And then I am so grateful for your presence in this morning, and especially Nick, and your trumpet sounds really added amazing extra flavor of the worshipful spirit in here. Thanks for your presence, and also choir. So today is the last day to talk about the Christian gratitude and around the giving thanks around the table. Thinking about the Thanksgiving, you know, you can think about the meal, right? I thought about it one story, and then let me share one story. It was on Thanksgiving many years ago that that actress Helen Hayes cooked her first turkey. Before serving it, she announced to her husband, Charles MacArthur, and their son James, "Now I know this is my first turkey I'm just about to cook. If it does not come out the way it should, I do not want anybody to make any word, any comment. And well, I mean, I would like to have you all just get up from the table without making any comment and go down to a restaurant for dinner. Then we'd retire from to the kitchen. And when she entered the dining room, burying the turkey, she found her husband and son seated at the table, wearing their hats and coats. That would be me. If I were to cook the Thanksgiving meal, my family would end up in the Kentucky Fried Chicken or some restaurant down the road. Thanksgiving lunch and dinner is what Thanksgiving means to most people. A family gathered around a big turkey and dressing meal with all the goodies to go with it. Some of you are so amazing cook, and I know that you're going to have an amazing turkey on the table. And that's certainly a special time for many families here in our blessed country. We are blessed, but you and I know that some of us still who are living in this country will not have this amazing turkey on their table this week, especially those people who live in southern Illinois. Let us be mindful about those people who are not able to have this amazing turkey on their table while we are feasting with others. Perhaps Thanksgiving is one American holiday that Jesus would have thoroughly enjoyed. Celebration with the family and friends gathered around the table full of great food. Those are some of the things that Jesus loved most. We should not underestimate the role of the table in Jesus' life. Countless times throughout Christ's story, we see him at the table full of people sharing life and talking about the kingdom of God. The sinful woman anointed Jesus during a dinner party thrown by Simon the Pharisee. Think of that story. And think of this story. The loaves and fish provided a meal for Jesus and more than 5,000 of his people. In today's story, today's passage, we see that Jesus chose to spend some of his last moments around the table with his disciples, sharing one last Passover meal before heading out to pray for the strength to endure the cross. Some of you who lost your loved one this year, probably that loved one is not at the table. Probably this table might not be the table you used to have because of the absence of the loved one. Jesus knew that he will not have this meal table with his disciple forever. He knew that he is offering the last Passover meal with his disciples. It was at this Last Supper that Jesus took bread and wine and radically reinterpreted them to be signs of the way he would give himself over entirely to God. The night before he died, Jesus said of the bread, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And of the wine, he said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." These are serious words, solemn declaration of a holy intent. Think of how meaningful it is that just before offering the bread and the wine, his blood and his body, he paused first to say, "Thanks, Lord." The early church did not miss the significance of the prayer of thanks. In fact, the church began to call this meal of bread and wine simply Eucharist, taken from the Greek term for thanks. They were essentially saying, if you wanted to capture the meaning of this act in single word, it would have to be thanksgiving. Every time we gather around this table as the family of God, the body of Christ, we are celebrating the great Thanksgiving meal of the church, just as it has been done since the beginning. But one might wonder whether his own death is looming. Why does Christ give thanks? It is a puzzle. Who among us, knowing that such a suffering was just around the corner, and could say, "Thanks be to God," as we had ourselves over to God as a gift? Simply saying, "You and I know that suffering is coming, and yet we give thanks to the Lord." It is a remarkable moment. Even in such a difficult situation, Jesus understands the gratitude of his life. He knows that each day, each breath, is a gift worth of a celebration. Since he understands the love and grace by which the gift is given, he is able to respond by giving over his life as a gift in return. Jesus held his life with a loose grasp rather than anxiously cling to it as a personal possession. His self-dedication to the purpose of God was his great act of thanksgiving. We approach the table on slightly different terms. We too come in the spirit of thanksgiving, but we approach the table with the sort of gratitude that is appropriate of the guest. Hosts are thankful for the presence of their guest and for God's blessing that enables them to feed those around the table. Guests are thankful to be there and to receive all that is set before them. As a recipient of so many things freely given, a meal, a time of fellowship, even the gifts of being welcoming to the table. Being a true guest involves the practice of discipline of graciousness and thankfulness. This is no easy task. It is difficult to receive a great gift. I know some of your children are preparing the wedding for their new chapter of life. Imagine a young couple soon to be married. An invitation go out. Wedding plans are made, and of course the community gathers to shower the couple with a wedding gift with which they are to start their lives together. These days, this shower is preceded by new premarital ritual, wielding the scanning gun at various retailers to build a bridal registry, choosing dishes in these towers by season, if you were like me, sheets and shower curtains. While it is thrilling to be given the chance to identify any and everything one could possibly want to receive, it is also a humbling experience. After opening a mountain of gifts at a shower, a couple may wonder, why did we ask for all of this stuff? Even Song and I asked for it. I'm laughing because little stuff that are like the car covers, we asked for it for our bridal shower. We will wonder why we asked for those. Can we actually accept all of this? It is just too much. If only we were rich, we would not have to burden anyone with all of this. Some of us think that way. But of course, these are burdens that the community gladly bears. Moments like this teach us a truth. Whether the task is setting up a house or raising a child, it takes a village. Our illustration of independence are just that, illustrations. We cannot make it on our own. I am who I am because you are who you are. I do believe that you are who you are because the people around you are who they are. There is a given in our lives that our existence is made possible only by the generosity of others. Just as a young couple begins their journey together, indebted to the community that has nurtured them, we too are overwhelmed by immensity of the gift offered to us as we approach this amazing table Jesus given to us. Questions of humility are demanded in here. Can we accept so rich a gift as Christ's gift of himself? Will we humble ourselves enough to admit that we are in need? For those people who are not accustomed to receive the gift or love, they are having a hard time to receive the gift with the gratitude. They always give and give and give. This great example for this behavior is mothers. Mothers usually found herself in the kitchen, cook and serve all the time, buying gifts for other people. They forget to buy gifts for themselves. They do not know how to take care of themselves because from the beginning, they are the one who gives all the time. Can we admit to ourselves and to others that we must return to the source of all being to find newness of life? If we do come with Jesus to the table, we will discover another surprising twist in here. Somehow, when we share in Christ's body around this Thanksgiving table, Eucharist, so-called, we come, his body, we become his body and in the world. As a result, we find that just like Jesus, we too begin to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, giving ourselves to God and to others as a gift. We found ourselves bringing others to the table, inviting them to share the same bread of life that nourished us. Once we have learned the table manner, how to receive the communion, how to break the bread, how to drink the cup, that comes from eating with Jesus, we find we are unavoidable, drawn into the same habit of giving and receiving. Lord's table is about giving and receiving together, not just giving only, not just receiving only, but giving and receiving together, of welcoming people to the table and thinking together about the kingdom of God. When we are fed at this table, participating in the Eucharist, the great thanksgiving of the people of God, how much better prepared are we for the others' Thanksgiving feast we encounter, even once with a candied yarn and then the cranberry sauce? This is because with Christ we learn to count every moment as precious. Alongside Him, we learn to love those gathered around the table with us. Those people around the table are not like you. God is not a cookie cutter, factory owner. God created each person uniquely differently and beautifully, expecting our guests to behave the way I want them to behave. It's not going to work. You are going to experience that this coming Thursday. I know. You needed to prepare the extra towel if you have a little children or the guests for your table this week. If you are thinking of other ethnic background persons to be at the table, you might need to think a little bit creatively how to welcome these people. Coming to the Asian people's home to be the table, around the table, you needed to take off your shoes. That means make sure you're going to have a good socks. And that is the mannerism. Alongside Him, we learn to love together around the table. As a closing remark for the welcoming people to the table, I would like to share a story about having a proper perspective of the Thanksgiving. A young woman wrote her mother from college. She wrote like this: "Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it in my left leg too when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had the fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He has been so nice. I must admit that I am pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine, and we'll write more when I get a chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. Mom, none of above is true, but I did get a C in sociology class and flunked chemistry. I just want you to receive this news in its proper perspective. Happiness is really determined by our perspective in life, not by circumstance. If we learn to be grateful people despite the circumstance, that will greatly improve our happiness. Regardless of how your Thanksgiving table would be this week, I pray that you will have the proper perspective over the table and give thanks around the table. Have a safe and joyful Thanksgiving. Amen.